This week on Potlatch, Morris Thompson and John Heffel on the BIA and the Self-Determination Act. On this week's program, we'll hear two Alaskans with very different attitudes toward the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Indian Self-Determination Act. First, from Tanana, Commissioner of Indian Affairs Morris Thompson.
American Indian tribes across the country have an opportunity today to alter or change their relationship with the United States government. New legislation passed by Congress opens the door for tribes to have more voice and authority in their own affairs, if they so choose. I'm Morris Thompson, Commissioner of Indian Affairs, and being Indian myself, I'm concerned that both Indian and the non-Indian community realize the importance of the changing roles that is taking place between the Bureau of Indian Affairs and tribal people. In the next few minutes, I want to discuss the issues of what we call the Indian Self-Determination Act. First of all, this new act has been called the most important piece of legislation affecting the American Indian since the 1930s when the Indian Reorganization Act halted the parceling up of Indian lands. President Ford called it a milestone when he signed the bill into law earlier this year. It is a milestone that has been a long time coming in the 200-year relationship between the government and the first Americans. Historically, the government, through the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other agencies, has provided services to Indian people, but the government has also dictated how the services would be delivered and what they should include, who would benefit from them, and how much would be spent. Indian tribes across the country had very little influence or participation in the policy-making decisions. But all that can be changed if Indian people themselves want to change it. The unique thing about the Self-Determination Act is that tribes can take it or leave it. If a tribe doesn't want to change any part of its relationship with the Bureau of Indian Affairs or other government agencies, it doesn't have to. Participation is strictly voluntary. On the other hand, if a tribe wants to take the initiative in planning, directing and administering federal programs on its reservation, it now has the authority to do so. Regardless of what a tribe decides to do, however, the Act specifically states that no changes will be made in the government's trust responsibility, and that has been a major concern of the Indian community. What trust responsibility means is the government is responsible for protecting Indian lands. Federal attorneys on behalf of Indian tribes are obligated to protect tribal assets from those who would exploit the land, water, minerals, forests, and other resources. Under the new legislation, the government's trust responsibility remains intact. Perhaps all this sounds very simple. It isn't. There are many complexities in the law, and Indian people themselves know it. Legislation this far-reaching is never easily put into operation. There are some budgetary and personnel restraints, and of course, there's a certain amount of red tape associated with every type of federal funding. No one is looking to the Self-Determination Act to serve as a panacea or cure-all for all the problems facing Indian America today. And we in the Bureau of Indian Affairs are as aware of that as anyone. But we are committed to the changes implied in the Act, and we want to smooth the way as much as possible for Native Americans to assume the leadership role in their own governmental operations, if they so desire. For the first time in more than 200 years that the United States government has been dealing and negotiating with Indians, there is now legislation on the books that allows for maximum Indian participation in programs and services now being conducted by the federal government. Two roads lie ahead, and along them are many side paths. Any tribe may elect to follow either one and may cross back to the other if it so desires. These changes can be made at any time, next year or a decade from now, or not at all. Today is a time for learning, thinking, and decision-making. Tomorrow is whenever and whatever the first Americans want it to be.
Somewhere in this world there must be love for me, love, love. Some way, somehow, I will find love, searching right now.
John Heffley heads the Association of Interior Eskimos and their affiliated Aklu Corporation. In January, the association picketed the Fairbanks Office of Indian Affairs in protest of what they considered the lack of services due this organization. I asked Heffley to comment on the statement by Commissioner Thompson.
It's in regards to Mr. Morris Thompson at Indian Self-Determination Act. I just about disagree with everything he said. He again says this, he's Indian. He's Alaskan Indian. There's a difference between Alaskan Indian and American Indian. They never state in that act, or his did he state, there's also, this includes Eskimos and Aleuts. The act was made to benefit the Indian, it says, and tribes that go forth. Well, we have been trying since the implementation of the Act when it was finalized in January and became effective December 4th. It states in there that you can get pre-contract assistance. We've applied and got negative results. They won't even bother to answer you. Then when they come up and they'll say, did you read the Act, which is, unless you're a professor at the University of Alaska and probably in law also, you cannot make heads or tails because under subparagraph A supersedes subparagraph BD in paragraph so-and-so on page so-and-so. So you read that page, and it says this page is superseded by some other change on another different page, and you turn way forward. And I spent 3 days of just flipping pages and never could figure out what they were trying to do. It also says in the Act that they had considerable amount of protest, which I had personally spoke at meetings, wrote letters, and our tribe sent resolutions of, by not using the term when they say tribe, it should say this tribe, and this Act includes Eskimos and Indians and Aleuts in Alaska. It says it's on village corporations and regional corporations under the Alaska Native Lands Claims Settlement Act. And what it's doing is just tying us basically to the BIA and basically to these village and regional corporations. We're only stockholders. They're setting up bureaucratic governments with Indian groups. If you want to use the government states that the word Indian is used for administrative purposes only. And yet each time that it's brought out in way Mr. Morris even, Thompson states, they're just slowly but surely removing these people's identity by this word Indian. I don't see the government making any legislation that says, by virtue of this, for purpose only, a black man is now white, nor a Mexican-American anything else, a Jew, a Christian. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs, who has been a detriment to the American Indian since its inception way back when they were going to take care of the poor, dumb savage who had a good life before they came along. Maybe the basic purpose of the Bureau and this Act was good, but the finalization is lousy. You can put in for planning grants to implement the program or a contract. Also, this grant will be able to get other grants. In other words, say if you were an expertise in grant writing, but you did it on a paying basis, I could take a certain part of this pre-planning grant and request your services. Then you would write up a grant where I would need, say, $40,000 to pay an attorney, et cetera, you know, to get us off the ground. Well, we've been waiting. We put in for this money, and they said, well, there's one little thing. Congress never appropriated the money. They made another piece of paper that says you can do a lot, and it's all for your betterment to get away from the Bureau, and then they didn't appropriate the money. And if you read, and a lot of people really should read that, Indian Self-Determination and Education Act, it ties us right to the skirts of good old BIA. You'll never get on. It seems that every piece of legislation, and what you're doing is you're taking Caucasian people, if you may, or non-Indian or non-Alaska Natives who are making this legislation, and when the people speak on what they would like to put in it, they very, very seldom do, and if it is, it's only something that's minute, one change, maybe he or she, words of this sort. But these people are writing letters to tell us how we should live. And that's wrong.
John Heffley commented on the history of the relationship between the BIA and the Association of Interior Eskimos.
It's just like the Interior Eskimos were people that were removed by their own way, maybe, from the north, the Arctic regions, and through maybe marrying a person who had a chance for a job down here, already employed, and gone back to a village. Better education, you know, closer to the schools. You know, one of the things I hate, you know, is that takes kids from the school. Outside, they gripe about busing. How about planing kids, you know, to Mount Edgecombe, which is another bureaucratic eyesore, and Chihuahua. All right. These people, the village, actually, the people made a village and grouped in 1943, some round in that November, because that was the time when the people out of gut, I'm using that November, they had a measles epidemic. Just about 17 of them come down, if I recall, over in Garden Island. Well, these people have gone, and they've been going in the traditional way, the traditional council, and take care of their own affairs. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs say, question, are you in fact a tribe? Are you in fact a village? And yet they turn right around and give, when I raised blue blazes about no village water sewer, the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Alaska Railroad, which is Department of Interior, dropped them off down there where they are in that, at that time was just a mud hole, swamp, full of mosquitoes, and just dumped them and forgot them. See, that's another thing the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they figure as long as they shove you off somewhere like they did the old Indians, on land that they don't want, it's worthless anybody else. Let's put the Indian, because now we don't see him, we don't hear him. And they're still doing it. They haven't changed their position. And some of these people get into these official capacities, they get up there and are really afraid, it seems to me, to look back to where they were or what they were. They owe it to their own people to take care of them. And to see that the Bureau does this. And for some unknown reason, and I can't fathom it, and it's been a fight for almost 3 years, trying to get them to give us straight answers and give us help, because by them helping us, we would have our own little crafts going in the village. We had things set up where it would darn good chance, you know, be self-supporting. Get off of welfare and these deals that the BI says, well, if you can't get it, you've got to come to us. And maybe it is, who wants to lose a good, soft $40,000 a year job or whatever? Because if there's no Indians coming to there, then there's no jobs.
I asked Tefley if the association is competing with the Tanana Chiefs Conference for BIA services.
No, I've tried to get before, talked to him before about having liaison officers from board to board and with FNA, but they didn't seem able enough to go along with the program, so to speak. We are not in any argument, confrontation, disagreements, or otherwise with the aims and goals of either FNA or Tanana Chiefs. We want to preserve and perpetuate the Eskimo cultures, their traditions. And because they're in the interior, I don't think that the Bureau of Indian Affairs should allow those people to be forgotten or tell us, look to your northern brothers. What we have is the Association for Eskimos was formulated as a nonprofit group, and what we were to see is, one, through us, we obtained city and sewer and water for those people when it was right next door to them for better than 11 years, and they never got it. The BI could have put it in there. And the Public Health Service, which is your Indian, under your Indian Health Service. This is one of your programs of 93-638, your famous Indian Self-Determination Act. You can contract these services now. And it's just recently we formed Ukluk Development. And Ukluk Development was formed to be a profit-making entity to take the monies that we make and just grant back to the association. No, in fact, I asked Mr. Thompson, and he has yet to answer me, why a village that is under the control, because the land is a trust responsibility, and the little talk that he just made, if you recall, he said they have trust responsibility and mentioned land and resources. And yet, that land out there and the village was just really forsaken in its native land claims. Nobody even bothered. They said there was no village in the Fairbanks area. The only villages they went was outside in the rural areas. And yet it was established. And now they tell me, well, somehow somebody forgot, the poor old Eskimo out there, which they've done, you know, for many years. And maybe it's just too late, but he'll look into it. Well, this is the fourth time he's made me that promise, and I have yet to see it. I have yet to see him or anybody else in the Bureau. Not maybe more specifically, because there's people when he has not been in that I've talked to in his office that represent him. Ones that represent, maybe I should say, Washington, D.C. level, area level, and the agency here in Fairbanks level. And time after time, and we get the same old words, we look into it. We put in for under the Indian Self-Determination Act, which is a big boon to the American Indian. It's a joke. The Act also says it was not their intent to stop the traditional or normal way of you doing business. Our normal way is one we don't write anything down. You go before a council and make a complaint, and they act. So taking our complaints to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we shouldn't have to write down. They should. They should write down our complaints, and they should act. The normal way is to write a letter of intent, that I have in full intent to, with contract, to do this, to do that. It's form of business. And they've accepted it until this act. And now they're trying to force us to change our way without even telling us where we're making mistakes or somebody taking the time to show us. They just said, well, we don't have the people now. Area is too busy. We've got other contracts and other people. They made an act that Congress maybe had good intentions, and I understand what they were intending to do, but it just didn't come off. And it's going to take a lot of hard work, and it isn't going to be pretty soon either. I think it's going to take a long time, and this will just keep the old Indian right under the old thumb of BIA.
That recording of the Eskimo Rock and Roll from the St. Lawrence Island Singers came to us thanks to Folkways Records. Now John Heffley again, this time with a comment on the picketing of the BIA offices in Fairbanks and about another group of protesting Native Americans, the American Indian Movement.
Well, now the picketing was members of our tribe felt that each time we go back to a council meeting and you tell them, well, we've talked to et cetera, Mr. So-and-so, representatives, officials of the Bureau, and they said that they're going to do and made just verbal promises. And then the time would go, and then the words come out as, you misunderstood, I don't recall saying that, this type. So they got tired of really them ignoring me as a tribal leader. I have a certain position and status within the tribe, and they recognize me. They were the ones that voted me in. And they have full faith, and they've done this by resolution also to affirm this position. And the Bureau says, well, fine, but that's as far as it goes. So the people themselves decided then they'll go out and they'll pick it. And maybe more people would realize what's going on. And it may get them to move, to do something other than these empty promises that we get continually. What we do gripe about, if you want to use the term, they always say, we sympathize with you. But that don't help you better yourself. They got answers why the act isn't what it should be, but they don't tell you how to overcome them. You send in letters and requests, and they're lost. And the answer is, oh, I lose lots of my correspondence too. That still doesn't rectify the situation, and that is no remedy or solution. And then to sit in a meeting with a board and with officials, and someone to say to you later, too bad. It's a waste of time, because nothing was resolved. It was just a couple hours of speech making. The Eskimos, lucky enough for, I think, the BIA, that they are a peaceful group, and the picketing is just a peaceful demonstration of saying, you know, these questions were asked, you never resolved them, you have not recognized our representatives, and therefore the tribe is requesting for them to do something. And finally they have moved, and it looks, I will put it this way, it appears on the surface that now that we've got beyond the impasse, and that's where it stays until who knows. I wrote an article for the Tundra Times, 2 years ago, speaking on nothing is gained by violence. You only not only hurt yourself, you hurt the innocent. And if it ever came to that point, then I would resign, because I would not support any action as such as this. AIM, you see it by what I just said, they only hurt themselves. You have the renegade, the Geronimo, you know, probably in every group, whether it's black, white, or Indian, Eskimo or Aleut. You have always have the militants, the dissatisfied. You always have that. But I can say, luckily, the ones in a group are mostly of us are the older people, and they realize what happened before. They see no sense in going on as some of the younger people do nowadays. And that's why. And we'll either make it this way or we won't, but they decided that they'll just keep picketing and picketing no matter what it takes. And if it takes anything, it'd be a peaceful demonstration, maybe a sit-in and request, which I've done now 4 times and not get an answer, for Mr. Kleppe. Now, he is the new Secretary of Interior. And the funny part about it, he says, somebody will get back to you. And when my phone rings again, it's a guy from the BIA that's given me the runaround for the last 2 months. So it accomplished nothing. So I'm just wondering about him, too. What is his position? So we'll see if I finally get hold of him, that he'll fly up here himself. Or send a representative from his office, not the Bureau, to speak to me and my people and get this matter straightened out. It's up to them. We only want to go forward. We only want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to interfere with any other groups. We got our own little culture and our own little thing to do, as the nowadays generation says. And that's all we're trying to do. And all we're asking is a fair shake.
John Heffley of the Association of Interior Eskimos. Next week on Potlatch, your host will be Mo Wassily. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thank you for listening. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.